All right, now we're going to go to Hebrews 11. But before I do that, it just occurred to me this week when I saw a T-shirt that said on the front, "It's all about me." Have you seen any of those? "It's all about me." Boy, does that describe the age we live in. And I remember my sweet mother's words as a little child, that in those days, that kind of philosophy was in the hearts of little children, but adults didn't have that. And adults now have that kind of philosophy. But I remember this from her lips on many, many occasions. "You are not the only pebble on the beach." Did you ever hear that when you were a child? "You're not the only pebble on the beach." You know, I was thinking, "I want this, I want this, I have to have this." And she would look down at me sternly, "You're not the only pebble on the beach." And that of course puts you in your place, that hey, there's other people to think about, there's other people to consider and care for. And you're not the only one that has needs. So, but that's the dichotomy between the generations of the past and the generation that we see today, where they can wear "It's All About Me" T-shirts. Can you imagine doing that 60, 70 years ago? But anyway, I thought about that this week, and I said, I think I'm just going to present that as a little instance to think about when you think about your Christian walk and your Christian service. It's not all about you. It's not all about you. We'll be in Hebrews 11:7 this morning as we continue our faith series. But we continue with our study of what is known as the faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11, where we have been told that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is substance. Faith is something that you can get a hold of, for it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we understand through faith that the worlds were framed not by a slow mechanical, chemical, or nuclear process that scientists are trying to discover, but simply by the Word of God, and therefore that which our eyes behold is not made of things which do appear. Now there's the difference. Faith opens up your eyes to God. Your senses opens up your eyes to what you can see, touch, feel, and taste, and smell. We have learned that God expects things to be done by faith His way. See, it's all about Him. It's not about me. And by faith, He tells me that you're to do my will. And when they are done His way, it gives witness to righteousness. Righteousness and faith go together. Now, we have also been instructed by God that we are to please Him. Again, it's all about Him. We are not to live lives only pleasing ourselves or others. You know, that's what people of the world think. We're to please ourselves, and perhaps we can please others. You know, our country is very magnanimous, willing to give. Charities galore. I mean, I get called on the phone for charities several times a day. Now, I try to be a giving person, but I generally have a principle. I don't give over the phone. It's too quick. It's too risky. But people think that they can please themselves or please others, and then God will be pleased. That's not true. But our primary responsibility is to please our Creator And God has made it so that we can only please Him. How? By faith. Believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. For He has declared this imperative. Now, an imperative is a must. The just shall live by faith. Now, that word shall is a legal word, meaning it must be done. And He so arranges it to be, for that is the rule of His realm. Now, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, when you enter His realm, you walk by faith. You don't walk by sight, you walk by faith. That's the rule of His realm. Now, we have visited Abel and Enoch, two men who walked by faith. One was taken in death, and one was taken alive, but both by faith came into the presence of God. I expect to be in the presence of God. Why? Because I walk by faith. I believe God. And God has told me thus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Saved to what? Saved to Him. I'll be saved to Him. I'll owe my life to Him. So our next faith instructor is a man named Noah. You all know Noah, don't you? You've come across Noah in the readings of Scripture on a regular basis, and the Lord spoke of Noah. But now very smart and intelligent men and women think there never was a man named Noah as described in the Bible, but that the Noah story is a made-up legend which emanates from many cultures. You go online and you can find that to be true. Many so-called intelligent men, when I say intelligent, I'm talking about of the world, in relation to all of us. However, these very smart and intelligent folk do not operate in the realm of faith. They're not in the kingdom. They don't walk according to the rules of the kingdom. And therefore, it is impossible for them to escape the bounds of earth and worldly wisdom, and therefore they can only come to false conclusions, for they choose to only operate by their senses. See how impossible it is. But we walk by faith, not sight, the Bible says. You know, try convincing a blind man who has never seen such a thing as the colors, the blues, the reds, the orange, the green, and the yellow. Try convincing a blind man that there is such a thing as colors. Can you do it? No. You walk in a different realm when you have physical sight than a blind man walks. The world of faith and the world of the senses are two different worlds. And never the twain shall meet. You know, they're two different worlds. You walk by faith, they walk by sight. They're two different worlds. But in our faith chapter, Paul, a very learned man, by the way, but he was a man who walked in the realm of faith. He walked by faith. He brought to the fore this man, Noah, and introduced him with that wonderful phrase, by faith, Noah. Oh, I want it recorded. By faith, Ludwig. By faith, Paul. By faith, Philip. By faith, Elizabeth. By faith, Carolyn. By faith. That's what I want. So Paul did not dispute or question the existence of Noah. But Paul, you know, I think about these characters who dispute the Bible. Oh, that could never happen. You know, I kind of believe Paul. I kind of believe Peter. You know, they seem to have a little higher status than some Johnny come lately. Don't you think? So Paul did not dispute or question the existence of Noah, but Paul was not the most important person to speak of Noah as a historical person for our own wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who rescued us from death. You know, the wages of sin is death, and he came and paid those wages that I won't have to pay. But he spoke of him when he spoke of days and judgments to come. You know, I've talked to people about that. Oh, they say there's no such thing as Noah. That's just a legend. Well, I said, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in him? Oh, yes, I believe in him. Didn't he speak of Noah? Yeah, but he didn't know. He didn't know that he was a legend. Now, wait a minute. What kind of faith is that? But in Luke 17, 26 and 27, and as it was in the days of Noah. Boy, that's authoritative. That's telling it like it is. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you can look around and say, boy, these look like the days of Noah. They did eat. Did you eat today? Did you have breakfast today? Did you drink? Did you have your orange juice and your coffee or your milk? They married wives. They were given in marriage. Notice how prominent marriage is. It's prominent in certain communities today, not in the normal historical communities. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So this judgment of the past, recognized and spoken of by Jesus Christ in order to give us a view of what is to come, a comparison of the past with what is to come, is again spoken of in Hebrews 11:7, but within a faith theme. So Hebrews 1:7, here it is, by faith, Noah. Oh, Noah was a man that walked by faith. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know, Noah didn't understand this. What's with this, a flood? We don't know floods. What are you talking about? Water coming out of the heavens. What are you talking about? Water coming up from the depths. Moved with fear. You know, fear can move you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, that's what should move you. You better teach your children to fear the Lord. Oh, that's not modern. Well, who cares about modern? Do you care about their eternal soul? You know? So he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, there's a lot of instructions in there, fathers. You move with fear. You prepare an ark to the saving of your household. You know, it's your responsibility, fathers, to see that your children are saved. How do I do that? Well, you pray for them. You be a testimony for them. You command them. You will make them obedient. You teach them the Bible. Here, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's your responsibility to the saving of the house. Now, in this example of faith given in Hebrews 11, it is the only case where the one exhibiting faith is moved by a coming judgment rather than rewards. You know, you can be moved by a coming judgment. So we are to take from this that faith not only respects God's promises, but also his warnings. Noah, by faith, moved with fear, for he was warned of God of things not seen as yet. the message of Noah is that people of faith heed God's warnings. You know, if you're a person of faith, an exhibition of that faith is to heed God's warnings. God says this, he warns about this. You prepare an ark. People who do not believe God's word simply go on their way, even though the warnings are clear, for blindness keeps them from seeing the obvious. They don't live in the realm of faith. You know, I remember the warnings regarding Hurricane Ivan in September 2004. Goodness, that's almost 11 years already. The trees are kind of healed, aren't they? You know, I go through my forest at my house, and I still see the trees leaning. They're still leaning. Poor things. They can never lean back unless maybe a hurricane comes from the other. But it never comes from the other direction. It always comes from the east. Oh, be careful of winds from the east. But I remember those warnings. They were broadcast early in the process of this hurricane's path as it moved toward this area, eventually resulting in thousands of people exiting to the north to a safe harbor. I remember trying to get across Stewart Street. Oh, cars in both lanes. Oh, some poor soul, they let me go through. But cars in both lanes, thousands of people exiting. You know, many heeded the warning, for they were convinced that those who warned were the experts. Oh my, ought to be a lesson there. Ought not there be a lesson? You think God is the expert? Maybe we should heed his warnings. But they heeded those warnings because they thought the experts knew better, knew what was best for those who lived or visited in this coastal area. But you know, there was one poor soul that didn't heed. Well, there were probably more, but this was a prominent in the news. One poor soul did not heed the warnings, for remember the truck that sped west right into the 100-mile-an-hour winds, which blew the bay waters to such a height as to break up many sections of the I-10 bridge. Remember that? What a sad picture it was to see the remains of the truck trailer left on the bridge. But gone was the cab with the driver who did not heed the warnings. That old truck was just sitting there. The cab was gone into the waters because the span had disappeared. Now today we are able to see the coming storms. We're given satellite views of hurricanes and tornadoes and rainstorms and know to the hour when they are due to strike. It does not take faith to know these things, but with Noah it took faith to know of the coming storm, for God told him that storms were coming to accomplish God's judgment upon the earth. For Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and he moved with fear. You know, it's okay to move with fear. Thousands moved with fear when they heard of the hurricanes. They said, let's get out of here. But you know, it's okay to move with fear. God told Noah of astounding things never before seen, for before Noah's day there had never been a flood and never a rain, for we learn from Genesis 2, 5, and 6, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So the environment of Noah's day was to be altered. Oh, I don't think I can believe that. By God taking away what seemed to be a vapor canopy that encircled the earth. The atmosphere was filled with water, which kept the whole earth in a tropical state. You know, you can go up into the Arctic areas and find evidence of this. Oh, that must be something different, the scientists say. And in Genesis 6, 13 and 17, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the Son of Man. Days of violence. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now that's the message to Noah. What did he do? Well, he was a man of faith. He believed God, and he was moved with fear. So God brings to Noah's ears, ears of faith, by the way, the absolute that is to come. You know, when God speaks, it's absolute. God's not casual. God's serious. God's sober. When he speaks, it's absolute. You can count on it. You can depend upon it. So faith moves Noah to obey God in the doing of an astounding thing. A thing unbelieved by the world then. What you doing, Noah? Building an ark. What's that? It's a big boat to carry all the animals and my family when the floods come. What's that? There's no water here, you foolish man. But Noah's faith brings to Noah the vision of this coming flood that is more real to him than the demonstrations of life around him. You know, is it more real to you to believe what the Bible says than the things you see around you? That's what faith brings. Noah sees God, and all around him grows dim. All the ridicule and persecution and laughter that the world casts at him is blurred, for his vision of the future is perfect, for it was given to him by God. Faith gives you a vision of the future that's perfect, and everything around you dims when you have eyes of faith. For Noah had the kind of faith that escapes judgment that God says would certainly come. So the lesson of Noah, who basically stood alone against the mockery of the world and did indeed escape judgment, is to always believe that God's word is true. For he heard that judgment is coming, and God's commands to prepare must be obeyed. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for God's judgment? God gave Noah many years to build the ark. Based upon Genesis 6:3, some think that Noah built the ark in 120 years, so it was known by those of faith that judgment was indeed coming. Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, the Spirit of God strives with you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That message has been going out for centuries. The Spirit strives with you. But you know, there's going to come a time when the Spirit won't strive. And there was a time in Noah's day when the Spirit won't strive. Now, it is obvious that our God is long-suffering in our day, and he was long-suffering in Noah's day, for God saw that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. My, how that pervades the culture of today. You know, we're vexed. We're all Lot in Sodom, and we're vexed. Aren't you vexed? If you're not vexed, boy, you better get into the Word and find out. But God's long-suffering, and he refused to suffer any longer, and the water from the depths and the heights was released. The Spirit stopped striving. But what happens in the hearts of men when God is long-suffering? Well, look for the answer in Peter the Apostle. Remember Peter, the former ignorant fisherman? Remember Peter, the impudent and stubborn disciple who was called Satan by our Lord? But now, after growing in faith in the Lord, writes in 1 Peter 3, 4 through 11, beginning with the words of the faithless. This is the words of the faithless. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's the word of the faithless. The words that of the people that operate in the senses, it with their senses. They don't operate in the realm of faith. And then in commentary words, Peter continues, for this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So he's referring to Noah's day. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Notice what's keeping back the judgment, the word of God. The word of God is keeping back the judgment reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, this whole world would be on fire were it not for the word of God. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Spirit will stop striving, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What a question to ask. Where does your faith bring you? Does your faith bring you to this holy conversation and godliness? Now Noah by faith heard the word of God, and moved by fear prepared an ark for the coming judgment. His time met the judgment of God, and our time awaits the judgment of God. We are to learn from Noah that God's word is sure, and that those of us who live in the realm of faith are only secure in the eternal ark of God, the man Christ Jesus. That's our ark. We're in the ark because we're in Christ Jesus. You know, that man, Jesus Christ, told us in clear terms that judgment is coming. In Matthew 24, 36 and 39, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Didn't make a difference to them. They continued their lives as if nothing was coming, because they were blind. You know, one word describes the people of Noah's day, and that word is oblivious. Oblivious. Remember, Jesus said that in the days of his coming, the people, after these several thousand years, will be no different than in Noah's day. For the one word which will describe the people of that coming day is oblivious. You know what oblivious means? Unaware of, unconscious of, heedless of, unmindful of, insensible to, unheeding of, ignorant of, incognizant of, blind to, deaf to, unsuspecting of, unobservant of, insensitive to, unconcerned with, impervious to, unaffected by, indifferent to, Do you get what oblivious means? Who cares? Whatever. Put that in there too. Whatever. You know, you witness to some folks, whatever. Different strokes for different folks. That's been going on for years, hasn't it? You live your life your way, I'll live my life my way. But this definition, the question could be asked, if this that we live in could be the generation that the Lord was speaking of, as we see all around us the multitudes fiddle with their lives while important things burn. Oh, how it is so obvious that people are fiddling with their lives. But you know, faith heeds the warnings from God's Word. Certainly the things to come will be things never before seen, as was also true in Noah's day. What Noah saw was delayed, but that delay had an end, and judgment was certain, as also what is to come according to God's Word is certain. You know, God spoke it, and it will come about. So faith moved in on Noah and his family and brought in fear. Now we remember that fear drove the multitudes north. As Hurricane Ivan and Hurricane Dennis moved rapidly toward our coast, huffing and puffing with threats to blow our house down. So people took action, for fear moved them to leave all of their treasure and to seek safety in the Ark of the North. And Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark, for God told him this would save himself and his house. He not only feared what was to come, but he feared God, whom he knew to be capable of all power, and who would bring this great earth-changing judgment about. So faith resulted in obedience, for Noah did as he was told. He prepared an ark. You know, it's easy to say that. It's just three words. He prepared an ark. It's easy to say that, but the doing of it took Noah 120 years. What an example in the fact that faith without works is dead. You know, his faith moved him to work, to obey God. You know, I remember in my teens building a 12-foot boat in my basement. Now, I wasn't ignorant enough to not judge how I could get it out. I measured and figured it all out, how I could get it out of the door and up the basement stairs. But what a little problem that was compared to God's instruction to Noah to build a boat, not in the basement, but a boat 450 feet long, unheard of, 75 feet wide, unheard of, and 45 feet high. Men, try coming home with news like that to your wife. Can you imagine the meeting of Noah and his wife after the Lord spoke? Noah, have you lost your mind? Where are we going to get the money? That's always a problem. Where do you expect that monstrosity to float? And most importantly, what will the neighbors think? What will the neighbors think? They'd say, you know, this place isn't zoned for such a big boat. But faith, you know, does not make room for the neighbors. Faith sets aside all the doubts and the excuses and obeys the God on whom that faith is set. Faith is so powerful, for it opens the door to the power of God. You know, that's something that if the young people could understand that. It's taken me years to understand that. And now I'm getting too old to do anything, but I can trust the Lord. He can help me. But young people, if you can understand that faith is powerful, It's so powerful, for it opens the door to the power of God. You know, God is on your side if you believe Him. And Noah accessed this power, for he did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Don't you think he trusted in God for all those timbers? Don't you think he trusted in God for all those tools? Don't you think he trusted in God for the backbone to do such a thing? There were no shortcuts, no compromise, no easy paths, but Noah simply did what God told him to do. And while engaged with hammer and axe and saw and chisel, he faced the crowd of doubters by preaching to them. As we are told in 2 Peter 2:5, the righteousness of God. As he hammered, he turned around and spoke of the Lord. Remember from the life of Noah that faith always moves one to do all that God commands to do. Seek God's will. And remember that faith is powerful because it opens the door to the power of God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, never saw those things, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, Noah condemned the world by his righteousness, by his righteous acts. And the lesson is for us to walk by faith. Father, we are thankful for the life of Noah. What a lesson it is to us. Help us, Lord, to grasp the power of faith and what it moves us into, the realm of God, the kingdom of God, where we can access the power of God. Oh, Lord, help us now as we go into our service. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up. May we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and walk our lives in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.